Go ahead and be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And last week we were studying about, Paul begins a list of 8 illustrations of what the ministry is all about. Okay, there's 8 things in this chapter that we are looking at and going over. And as we was working through this, you think about it, they're great illustrations and who we are, not only here at Canton Grace Fellowship, but who you are in your personal ministry as you minister to people that has needs and all. And we looked at the very first verse last week as far as you are a son. And then we looked at you are a steward. And then we looked at you are a soldier. And then we looked at that you're an athlete in verse 4. And then, your thing you got to remind yourself as we go on down through here is the fact that the devil will constantly want you to walk by sight and not by faith. How many of us would walk by sight if it would make a difference in our life to change some things? A lot of us would. But we have verses that say we don't walk by we walk by faith, not by sight. That's an understanding of who we are in the Spirit of God. And we can walk by faith, walk by sight in the flesh. And I think that's a lot of things going on in our personal life and in ministries and even people that you know, they're walking in the flesh. And, we've been prayer requests and praise items. Not so much praise items. The prayer requests that many of us has as family members or friends that's going through some troubles in their life. And it's like, oh, woe is me. And if you understand that, like depression and all, you know what that is? It's just selfishness. It's just, what about me? What about me? And what's the middle of middle letter of sin? That's where you're at when you think about some things and get yourself so down and want to cover your head up and all, oh, woe is me. But I like to change that I with the O and think about the Son. And when you think about the Son, S-O-N, then that gets you off of yourself. And that's what God, through Paul's epistles and his gospel and building us up and edifying, it does take us out of ourselves if you really think about some things. And to know that Satan would want you to walk by sight, to walk by your feelings of what I want, instead of your focus on what God has created you here on earth. We looked at being a husbandry, or a husband. And we did with the illustration about farming. Many of us put out gardens and many of us worked on farms and helped our granddaddies with farming and all. It's hard work, isn't it? It's really, really hard work. It's hard work keeping your home together. Keeping it clean, if you want to use that as a farm. So just remember that you'll never have a harvest without diligent in work. Our ministry here, we have harvests, don't we? Because why? We put an effort in some things. Sometimes we just relax and sit back and say, oh, I've got other things to do. My priorities are not right. I'm talking to myself here. And you just think, where's everybody at? But once again, I feel that I can set the table through the Lord's work, but I can't make you eat it. Is that understandable? A lot of times you get so frustrated, hey, I fixed this big meal and nobody's here to eat it with me. That just makes me mad. Well, have you thought about the next 3 days of food that you're going to have to eat, but you don't have to cook? I think about that, but the thing is, when you get people here, you feed them the right way. Talking to a guy just the other night, he asked me if the church is growing. I said, well, we have people to come that wants to come. But we also have people, I said, if they want programs, if they want to be lied to or things like that, they'll go somewhere else. Oh, it's getting cold out here. He wanted to go back inside because I'm touching on what he feels that needs to be in the ministry. And then he comes out and tells me, he goes, he bought a book. He spent $100 on a book from a guy, last name is Faye, some preacher or something or whatever. And he says he lists 5 things what you can do when you witness to people. And he said, and they work. He said, when you do this, the Holy Spirit comes off and goes into them and they get saved. I said, that's very interesting. I said, you know who Apostle Paul is? You know, God through him gave the book. I said, Paul goes to Berea, he goes to Thessalonica, he goes to Athens. And each one of those groups was different in who they knew who Jesus Christ was. So I said, you ever thought about asking somebody, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Plain and simple. And that point, from that point right there, you can find out who they think Jesus Christ is.
If you just listen.
Oh, he was born in a manger. We celebrate his birthday December 25th. And then they'd be quiet. So where does that tell you what they know about Jesus Christ? Not much. So guess what you got to do? That's true. But do you know he came to die for your sins and was buried and rose again? And now he's in royal exile? And what God is doing today through the distinct message of Apostle Paul, you can understand why God is absent. See how you springboard? You don't need to spend $100. It didn't crush him, but I've been dealing with him for a while in a way that I'm not sugarcoating anything anymore, guys. There's people out there that is in desperate need of truth, and as we just water things down, you're enabling them to continue in what they want to do. You know, our dear brother. You know, we know somebody that's. We love them to death, and I've talked with them, and I'm shooting across the bow. This is truth, because you may not be here tomorrow. You know, you slip out there on that sidewalk. I'm serious. You know that. But as long as you are here, it is your responsibility to be a son, to be a steward, to be a soldier, to be an athlete, to be a husband. And then we looked at the law of harvest, didn't we, last week, talking about reap what you sow, sow more than you, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later what you sow. And we looked in the ministry, a long-term process. It's been a long time since we've been here, but yet, think about Christmas. It seems like a long time ago, don't it? If you think... But just it's not even less than a month ago, isn't it? Almost coming up on a month. But it seems like a long time since we opened up a present, if you do that, you know? Or you sit under a Christmas tree. I mean, around a Christmas tree. But it takes patience on things like this. It takes patience to build your business, don't it, JJ? It really does. And he's been working for things for 15, 20 years, and you're still not where you want to be, are you? And it takes patience and all. But 2 Timothy 2:7, as we work down through it, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in how many things? All things. The Lord will give you understanding if you consider what Paul was saying here. Paul stops at this point to illustrate of what the ministry is all about to say, remember. Just remember what this ministry is about. Remember what your personal ministry is about. And then verses 8 through 13, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abide faithful, he cannot deny himself. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ who will give the power to encourage you and I in all areas of the ministry. Think about that. Consider, understand, remember. When we preach, when you preach my gospel, what does that mean to you? Say it. Just think about that. My gospel. What do you think about that?
It belongs to you.
I just
exactly think of two Gospels, Jesus for the Old Testament and Paul for the New Testament.
Okay. But that term mine, this is my seat. This is my car. It's personal. Yeah, and that's why it's very, very, very important when you say that, hey, according to my gospel, Paul took it personal that God gave him this gospel. And you and I know how important it was to him and how important it is to us. We have a lot of things that's mine.
And religion tries to make that arrogant.
You know, and you know, there's a lot of people we joke around about marriages and stuff like that, and we say, you know, what's Sherry's is Sherry, and what's mine is Sherry's. You know, that type of thing. We joke about that, and then we talk about I have my own banking account here and separate account there, and one guy told me, he said, I don't think that's right. I said, well, it's not really. You know, you won. But what's yours is yours, and what's yours is your wife, and that type of thing. You're one. But that's getting something else. But listen, when you preach my gospel, you will suffer trouble, even unto bonds. Okay? But the gospel is not what? Bound. See? We're told to preach the word. And when you preach the word, you let God do the deciphering, if you will. People out there want to hear truth. And that's why we shouldn't really water it down. There's a lot of things that people are thinking about today in ministries. They have to make a decision. Something's not right here. You know, why do I have to go out here and make sure there's 45 people in my church? What are you guys doing? That type of thing. It's an all ministry. It's an our ministry. Therefore, endure all things for the elect's sake. Who's the elect's sake? The saved people. That's right. You have to endure for their sake. You have to stick your neck out there and you have to stand. That they may obtain a salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In other words, our faithful service in the ministry now will bring greater glory to our Savior throughout eternity. Think about that. What we're being faithful with, God's words for today, it's giving Him eternal weight and glory. It's praising God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that who you should be pleasing? Yeah. And he's because perfected saints, having Jesus Christ formed in them now. Jesus Christ is formed in you right now. Is He not? He's supposed to be. Some of us may not tap into that on a daily basis, because guess what? I'm thinking of myself. I'm thinking where I need to be at 3:30 today, 4 o'clock. I like to be settled down and watch that football game. Hey, I'll be honest with you. You know, would I much rather be traveling and listening on the radio or just be tuned in on the TV set?
Tuned in to
TV. Yeah, that's much better.
Can you make that?
Yes, I will. If Ed's willing, and the creeks don't lie, right?
And the wife says okay.
Yeah, you know, but you know, I've got 1,001 things to do that it's been backing up. So I may go home and take care of some things. You know, and all, and before I even go out, and chances are I probably won't get where I'm going to 7, 8 o'clock tonight. But He will reflect Jesus Christ throughout eternity, giving Him a more glory as a part of His inheritance. Okay? Jesus Christ got inheritance, don't He? What is it? It's heaven, it's the earth, it's everything. All. Everything is God's. God has given it to His dear Son. And guess what? You're a part of that. Man, that excites me, because these people says you can lose this and you can lose that. No, 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 no. That burns me up. And I told a group of people the other day, I'll stand toe-to-toe against you and your preachers when it comes to losing your salvation. Now, you may think you through your man-made doctrines and all that thing that you can, but the Bible clearly speaks that you cannot if you're in Him and He's in you. You're part of His body, people. Okay? You're part of His body. Knowing this should encourage you to stick to the task at hand that God has given you with faithfulness. That's been from the beginning. Was Abraham found faithful? Get up and walk. He gets up and walk. God counts it to righteousness. All throughout the Bible, God is always wanting to deal with faithful people. Faithful people. So Christ will be magnified through His saints. That's what it's all about here. God manifested in the flesh. Didn't we see that back there in chapter 1, verse 3? God manifested in the flesh, seen of the saints, and all that. And it's you. It's the body of Christ what He's doing. For if we be dead with Him, He will also live with Him. Dead to what? If you're dead unto sin, you're alive to who? God, yeah. If we suffer now, we shall also reign with Him where? Yeah, in heavenly or ages to come. Okay? You won't suffer now, people. And many of you have. I'm not talking about, you know, jobs, things like that. That's suffering, you know, but you're not being persecuted. You know, I think I got 2 more weeks on this account. I'm still not 100% sure, you know, they're going to land me. But, you know, in my flesh, am I start to worry a little bit?
You think you'll stay with God?
I want to, yes. If we deny Him now, He will also deny us where? Ages to come. You know? If we believe not now, yet He abides faithful, He cannot deny Himself. In other words, all saints are a part of His body, whether you're babes, whether you're carnal, whether you're spiritual. The more spiritual, the greater reflection of God, the glory for Jesus Christ is. That's why Paul breaks it down that way. You know, a little babe. You bring somebody to Christ to understand some things, just a little babe, isn't it? Fred, you know, and you see him, her grow, and you're like, it's exciting, isn't it? You got little grandbabies, and you're seeing it grow every day, and it's like, man, this is exciting. I never knew. You better slow down, you know, and you only seen it yesterday, you know, that type of thing. As far as growing, the babes grow, and then you become carnal. You don't want to become carnal, but you go on and come to what? Spiritual. That's where your goal is. You know, when you're dealing with some things in your life and you know it's wrong and you know it's wrong and you make your list over here and you put your things down in this list, say, wait a minute. The things that I'm doing right now is not pleasing to my flesh, not pleasing to God. So why am I here? So you make your list over here, and many of you have those 100 things in Christ Jesus, 100 things God gives you free in Christ Jesus. You know, beloved, accepted, you know, that type of thing. Over here, do I want to be over here, most miserable, or do I want to be over here in Christ? So you got a choice, but you're still saved. But the things that I'm doing over here is most miserable. The way I'm thinking, I'm getting headaches, you know, and just stressing out over most little thing. I'm trying to back off a little bit. Say, hey, it's not worth that. You handle it. Not you, personally. I'm just saying, you know, some things I'm dealing with. Chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things put in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearer. Now, you want to strive not about, you want to strive with words with no profit? People do that. But the word, you don't want to do it with no profit. You want to do it with profit through the Word of God. And you know what? You will subverting of the hearer. You will take those people here and change their mind. Does that make sense? Paul begins again to illustrate of what our ministry is all about after his reminding of Jesus Christ being the source of the power to endure sufferings and as we endure. And when we are enduring His sufferings, it will reflect and bring greater eternal glory for our Savior. I don't want to strive around with words with no profit. I tried to be a word man ever since I started understanding the dispensation of grace of God. These words on this page mean something. They may not mean something to a lot of people out there. But as far as your preacher, I want you to know that I want to say words that you can put gainslayers quiet. That's Acts 15, by the way, that verse. When those Judaizers saying, hey, no, they got to be circumcised just Moses to be saved. And Paul stood up and Peter stood up. And Paul said, hey, it's this way with Peter. They had a council there. He was telling them words with prophets so it would change their mind. A lot of them didn't want to deal with that. 14 through 18, as we break this down, the most important words in 2 Timothy 2:15. What do you think it is? Let's read it. Study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's the most important words in 2 Timothy 2:15? You say divide, you say study. The word of truth.
Approved unto God.
Everybody got their answer in? All of them? Think about it. The most important words, approved unto God. That's the thing. You know, you don't want to be approved to Ed. I don't want to be approved to Walt or Dan or Leon. It's approved to God when it comes to this. So you have to be a workman along with the soldier and stuff. This is a whole point of studying and right dividing. You mentioned what you need to do, but important is this to do it to who? God. In verse 14, Paul charges us before the Lord that we not strive not about words to no profit. In other words, teach the things of God that will build up sound doctrine in the souls of the hearer. That makes the difference. The prayer requests that we talked about, what will make a difference in their life? Give them words of profit. Let God work in them. Teach the things that God will bring sound doctrine. And the way you do it is to what? First word of that verse. Study, be diligent, careful attention given to the word, yet study. Many of you have your own business, you know, but at the beginning you had to keep your mind clear and you had to study out the things to make your business profitable. Do you still do that? Do you still have to keep up on the state regulations?
Yes.
All the time, don't you? All the time. Got a letter the other day and it said that I have to take a copy of my medical certificate, and mail it to the DMV so they'll have a copy because I'm a commercial driver, have a CDL. That's for everybody, by the way. And it started January 30th. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what I got to do? So I called the people up and they said, you got till 2014. I'm like, well, I'm reading this, and it's almost like I've got to do it.
Like healthcare?
No, we have a medical card that we have to carry that if we get pulled over, that's one of the two things they ask for. And then they want to see your driver's license, they want to see your medical card, and they want to see your registration type thing, your logbook too. And that medical card will tell them, okay, Ed wears glasses. Where's your glasses at? If I get caught wearing glasses, they can put me out of service.
Not wearing glasses.
Not wearing glasses. See, things like that. It's a medical. It's politics, man, politics. But anyway, but the thing is, I have to keep up on that. And I got that letter. I'm like, what's going on here? You know, why do they want my personal information that I carry on myself that's going to go in a system out there? That's if you're an interstate driver. If you cross state lines. Building doctrine as a workman, you'll have to oppose that doctrine which is false and teach that was sound and true doctrine. do me a favor. Go to Amos chapter 7 and Hosea chapter 8. Let's turn to some verses. Y'all ain't used your Bible yet today, have you? Andy, now just no, Amos and Amos and Hosea. If you got the right Bible, Hosea starts at 9:26. How'd I say go first? Amos, right? Amos 7. And Hosea chapter 8. When you understand the Word of God right and divide it, and you start to study, and you're using that workman mentality of what you, who you are in Christ, and be able to subvert the hearers and what they're doing, you also subvert the doers. And listen to this verse. Amos chapter 7, verse 13. I think. Wait a minute.
You can almost see the words from the dust on the page. You've been there for a while.
Well, it ain't Amos 7. I wrote that down wrong. Hang on. Oh, man.
Would it be 17? No.
Hang on. Go to Hosea 8:14. Man, where's... I'm sorry. I think it's chapter 8, Amos 8, 13. But go to Hosea. We're in Hosea. Sorry. Verse 8, 14. For Israel have forgotten his maker and built temples, and Judah have multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour their palaces thereof. Now, what has Israel has forgotten? Forgotten who? God, and they went around and built it, what? Temples. See, there's people out there today is building temples and building sanctuaries and building churches, and they're forgetting who God is. And Paul is telling us today, don't do that. Israel, forget about the makers. Remember, the work of the ministry is not building buildings. Much as we would like to have our own building, right? Your own parking place out there. You know, your children's ministry down here doing this, and you know, and big kitchenette where we can have meals every day. You know, you get your focus. The building is the tool, like a songbook. The ministry is teaching sound doctrine. That's why you get people involved in the ministry. You get them build it and root it in the right way, and then when you get the people together, then you can make that decision to do some things. But that verse in Amos, kind of saddens me because...
Does it start with 8:11?
Well, 8...
Study to show that self approved.
That's right. I know. I feel ashamed right now.
Okay.
I feel shame until Walt. But verse 10 says, Amos 8:10 says, "And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all of your songs into lamentations, and I will bring up sackcloth upon your loins and baldness upon every head." Imagine that. "And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end of thereof is a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water. Hadn't they already had those things, hadn't they? Mm-hmm. But of what? Hearing the words of the Lord. You think the famine is still going on today? We're in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. And 12 says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. There's a, yes, they are, aren't they? You know, so you can look at that and say, you know something? That's some interdispensational truths. Because people's ever learning and never able come to the knowledge of the truth. When you give them the words of the Lord that you have in your possession, that God preserved, and you give it to these people, guess what? They don't want it. They're not hungry for it. But not, excuse me, not everybody, because guess what? You're sitting here. You wanted it. You was thirsty. Didn't Jesus talk about the woman in the well? You know, a thirst. You know, you want to give me water, and it's, you know, that's, it's going to continue to be thirst. It's not building buildings, okay? You get the foundation of who Christ is in you first, and then you build on the right foundation. Yes, sir.
She was stating a true statement, but, you know, had she stuck and had Paul not addressed her with the gospel, the truth, and shut her up, it would have mingled in. Do you know what I'm talking about? It would have mingled in with it. It's like it is today in the church today. It's mingled in with us, truth. There's some truth there, but it's not the truth.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And I always thought, what's the half-truth?
That's a lie.
You know, you think about that.
The worst thing you can do is have a half-truth.
A half-truth.
That's worse than a lie.
And, you know, I think about our young kids, how we bring them up with some things, traditions and stuff like that, and you're like, if they know what I know, I hope they never hold that against me. You know, like with Easter bunnies and my one...
Yeah.
You know, things like that. I mean, is it okay, you know, it's pretty nice things, but listen, it has nothing to do with Christ Jesus. And I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm just saying I was there too, you know, and that type of thing. So I'm not picking on you, young lady. But the thing is that's a half-truth. That's a half-truth, and it's a lie. And you can honestly sit here today and think about where you was at in times past, sitting in those padded pews and the stained glass windows and think, wait a minute, this is not right. There's some truth in it. And you want to grasp that truth and you hold on to that truth, what they are saying, and say, this is truth. I'm getting some. I know people that's going to spend the rest of their life in churches like that, thinking they're going to do good, helping somebody else out to come to some right division. Listen, those organizations are far more greater than you and I are, and they'll suck you in there, and they'll chew you up and spit you out and make you cookie mold people. Parking lot's full of them. Parking lot's full of them. Verse 19, 2 Timothy 2:19. But anyway, let's get back to but shun, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more what? That's why you got to study to put this stuff away. And their words will eat as doth a canker from Hymenaeus and Philetus. Okay, who concerning the truth had erred, saying the resurrection passed already and overthrown the faith of some. There's people out there talking about, hey, what are you doing believing in something? It's already happened. There's people telling you today, don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. There's people telling you today, there's no hell.
Jesus Christ was just a prophet.
You know, and that would that not throw your faith? Very easily it can. That's why you better stand. That's why you better study. That's to be approved. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth what? Sure, having this seal. Ooh, that's a good word. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 19. I was reading 16, 17, 18 a few minutes ago. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name Christ depart from what?
Iniquity.
You think about the profane and vain babblings increasing ungodliness. You think about overthrowing the faith of some. You think about erring from the truth. You think about teaching that the resurrection's already passed. You think about teaching another gospel. You think about putting somebody else under the law. You think about considering gain as godliness. You think about all these things. I mean, you got a list a lot longer than mine. You write a toilet paper roll list.
The iniquity in the context that we're talking about here, it's not, most preachers will say iniquity, well, that's just bad behavior in the flesh. That's what we need to depart from. Well, they're preaching bad doctrine.
That's right. Exactly. Christ in you. Noah's having this seal. You got a seal from God about my gospel. Okay? And depart. You know, that's when I shared with you a while ago, watering down stuff. You get as old as I do, your tolerance level starts to, you know, you're just not as tolerant as you used to be, you know. And when it comes to people that, you know, that you've been working with or been sharing something, and they just, you know, it's just like kicking against the pricks. And you just say, okay. But when you see them again, they bring up that they bought a $100 book, and you think, why couldn't you took that $100? You gave it to me. I gave you a free DVD of Right Division. No, just joking, you know. But I'm thinking, you know, they're taking that money, and you're thinking, don't fall into that stuff. Don't fall into it. I like to have the $100 to do that, but you know, I'm just saying, you don't err from the truth. Depart from what? Iniquity.
Wasn't it Jesus said, flee, or was it Paul? Flee
for fornication. Yes. You run. Fight, flee. You know, what was that? Follow. Follow, flee. We just read that a couple times ago in Timothy. You just don't casual leave a little cookie crumb trail where you can find your way back. Hey, you can find your way back without a cookie trail. Cookie.
Yeah, your flesh will lead you back.
Yeah. Your mind already. I know what. That's why I try to share some people. You know what it is to be in this program over here, guys, gals. We need to teach our young adults that, hey, we know where you're at. And sometimes we have to allow them to make their own decisions, don't we? It's usually not too pleasing to mom and dad. I like to tell you I told you so. But look, flee. Dan made a good point. You run. You get out of Dodge. Yeah. You get out of Dodge. Verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure. I like that. And having His seal. Think about that. You know another verse talks about a seal? Ephesians 1:13, 14. Having His seal. A seal. We had some homemade apple butter brought up from home, down the home. I came in there a couple weeks later, and the seal wasn't broken. Joshua took in a knife because he couldn't break the seal. And it would open up like that, and he had it in a paper, you know, a paper bag, but a, you know, baggie. I'm like, what in the world? And I just cracked and seal popped it off. He said, Dad, I just couldn't, you know, he didn't know how to break the seal. I'm thinking, see, you can't break the seal for your salvation.
Amen.
You can't, because God is the sealer. The Holy Spirit is sealing. God puts the crank on it, and you can't get out of it, people. That's good news. That is good news. That is good news for anybody in any age group can understand that if they fall into temptation and if they fall into the sin, that God is still loves them and cares for them and they're sealed. Okay? But they need to get right in their mind to do some other things with God. The Lord knoweth them that are His. See, that's the verses I tell them, we talk about all the time. Well, I hate to think Brother William's not saved. I mean, he gives, you know, this thing. I said, well, you know, I can't judge your soul. God judges your soul, but I can judge your actions and your fruit. That's me. Now, you may look at it differently, but I can judge, I can say, you know something? Stay away from this uncle. Or, hey, go enjoy your uncle. He's saved, you know. Be a part of his life. Let every man name the Lord, name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in the great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some what? Dishonor. What's he talking about there? What's the great house? That's this place, the church, the great house. Okay? God's house. They are not only vessels of gold and silver, I'm looking at them, but they're also vessels of what? Wood and earth. You're looking at them. I'm just using some things, okay? But they also have what? Honor and what? Dishonor. There are some of us that honors, you know, is honor, and there are some of us that are doing dishonor to God. Okay? And some honor. A vessel must be clean, people. Depart from iniquity. I probably didn't say that right. Iniquity. You know what that is? False doctrine. J.J. nailed it on the head. It's not so much, oh my gosh, he's got sin in his life. We've got to depart from that. It's false doctrine that's being taught and preached. This is where it gets tough. This is why it's very, very serious to understand when you get to Paul's epistles. It's serious business out there. Souls are being lied to. And when you depart, you are a vessel of, when you depart from that, you're vessels of honor. You're sanctified, and you meet the Master's use, prepared for the good, every good work. You here with me? When you depart from that stuff, He sets you up, don't you put your best china up for a while, but when you bring it out, that type of thing, unless you come to my house, I'll make you eat out paper plates, so you won't have to do the dishes. Hey, I'll share my house, man. Verses 19 and 20 are reference to doctrine issues. Bad doctrine hinders the Holy Spirit in you. Okay? I got a few more verses I need to share. But you think about that. You think about honor and dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. Isn't that what we want to do in our spiritual life and even in our physical life? Hey, you know there's people out there watching you and everything you do and say?
Yeah.
There's angels out there watching you too? There's angels in the heavenly realms that never experience this dispensation of grace. Never know what God is doing, you know, never knew this. They wasn't even a plan, part of the plan. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This also confirms that verses in 20-21 are about the doctrine. Because Paul says in verse 22, flee also. That's dishonorable behavior and unworthy conduct. Put off, put on. What are we supposed to put off? Yeah, what are you supposed to put on? Follow after righteousness, faith. This is once again, when we're talking about God through Paul is giving instructions to the local church. How to conduct yourself, okay? How your bishop is supposed to conduct himself. How the local church is supposed to conduct himself. And by doing so, that make us conduct ourselves as a whole. Not only in your personal life. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. You flee from a thing, you put on this, you avoid foolish questions, unlearned questions, gender strife. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. You avoid those foolish questions and stuff. Did Adam have a belly button? You know what I mean? Was he dinosaurs on the ark?
Who was Cain's wife?
Who was Cain's wife? You know what I mean? You can sit around, and I've said this a million times before. I've been part of conferences since 1993, and I watch these big Bible scholars in these upper rooms late at night. And they talk foolishness like that. Well, what if? And you know, they no longer believe this message. They departed from the faith because they followed what-if doctrines. That's why you better be very, very careful that Satan can convince the most noblest, if you will. You know, the other day I was listening to that song George Strait sings. What is it? Who's going to fill those shoes? Who's going to stand up? Not George Strait, George Jones. And he sings, Who's going to fill those shoes? Old country song. Y'all might not listen to country when I know you're rock and rollers up here. And, you know, you love Neil Young and all that stuff. I know that. But anyway, George Jones would say, who's going to fill those shoes? Who's going to stand up tall? Who's going to sing the opera and the Wabash Cannonball? He's talking about the older singers as gone. Who's going to stand in their shoes? I think about preachers. I think about preachers. Who's going to stand up here and tell you the truth? Okay? You know, I think about men that brought me into the ministry that some of them's no longer there. Who's going to fill those? Who's going to fill your shoes? Serious. Big business.
Well, just look at that man who wrote that booklet, Visit Virginia or something. What was it called? It was a believer who wrote that pamphlet. Not a pamphlet, it was a little booklet on subjects and stuff. He was a very much of a. You knew him. He was from Virginia or somewhere, and he's gone against the faith.
David Dow.
Who?
I don't know.
But there's I know.
And all this knowledge, okay, I couldn't even begin to hold a candle to him.
Right.
And he turned from the faith.
Yeah, he departed from the faith. Yeah. He departed from. I know. Reason when you mentioned that state, Virginia, there's four or five of them. So, I'm speculating a little bit. I just didn't want to name no names. Okay, but anyway, well, maybe we should. It's not me, Bo. But hey, you know they can come back around, and once they do, they just need to prove themselves. You know what I mean? You just don't bring them back up here and say, "Hey, stand up and preach to us. You're a preacher." They have to prove themselves. Verse 23, content for the faith, but do not content for the faith contentionally. This is pride in the flesh. Verse 24, right quick, and I'm trying to finish this up. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure would give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, and who are taken captive by him at his will. Right? That's what we just said. But number eight, as we work down there, you are a servant. Exodus 21, 1 through 6 describes the bond slave out of love. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. That takes a lot. This should tell you that when you're teaching carnal believers, it's not an easy job, is it, guys? Guys. It's not an easy job. Your natural tendency is you want to punch them in the head or, just drop kick them. You know, get out of my way. I'm going to run over top of you. I'm tired. I'm sick of hearing you and your, all this stuff. You want to punch them in the face. Yeah, but usually you get punched back, and all that stuff. Because, the thing is, when you stand against people like that, they wholeheartedly believe that they're right, too. And then you're going to stand back. That's why you find out where they're at. You find out what they know about Jesus Christ. Do they want to go to heaven? Do they want to do that? And then you find out and say, wait a minute. But you always take them to where? The Word of God, rightly divided. God says to be gentle in meekness, power under control. We went all through this. It takes a lot to be meek, don't it? You think about that. Instructing them that oppose themselves. Whether you like it or not, you're wrong. And you know what? If they love you enough and respect you for who you are, they'll listen to you. They may not agree with you, but they'll listen to you. And you know that they are not going to be to like being instructed too, right? Hey, we got kids. We instruct our kids, yes, Mom and Dad, I'll do everything you say. Don't they, many of us go like this, but we know that no. Days are coming, guys. You're going to be in those shoes too. But look, nobody like to be instructed. That's being under the law. You could fill this room up right now overflowing if you put a lot of people under law, because you know something? A lot of people wants to be told what to do. They don't want the liberty to stand and be on their own and understand that they have the responsibility. They want to put the responsibility off on somebody else. So when they come in here and knowing that we preach and I preach the Word of God rightly divided, guess where the responsibility is on? That's right. That is right. And a lot of people don't like that. Oh, I'd much rather go over here. I like it over here because of this. But what do they preach? What do they preach about Jesus Christ? That's another good question, these churches. Ask them. Don't be ugly about it. Just ask what these churches preach. We probably know at least 15 people that's going to other churches. Be willing to spend and be spent. We've been preaching that for years. Be willing to spend and be spent. If God will give them the knowledge of the truth, and they will understand. Just be faithful. Just keep working. There's some things that we get caught up in our lives that, we think we're at a dead end. And nobody's got the answer. There's things in my life when I was doing things out there, Lord, just get me out of this mess. I promise you, I swear to you, I won't do it again. The very next week. Some of you are smiling, because you know what I'm talking about. The very next week, guess what? You're back in the same shape that you was. And if Lord God Almighty would have, my hide would have been tanned one side down the other every day of my life. Discipline. But how does God do it today? He convicts your heart. I believe He knows. I believe wholeheartedly God gives everybody a conscience. Whether they're saved or unsaved, they still have a conscience.
Sometimes I think you got to wonder about certain murderers and stuff
that. Well, they still got a conscience. And once they realize, some of them like this.
Some of them never realize.
And what it does, it becomes callous. And you never be able to puncture it. But you watch some of these, when you mention murders and stuff like that, and they lay their head down low when they're being sentenced because it's convicted them. And knowing that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again, I don't care how old or young you are, you'll never have to hold your head down in a shame and God when you stand in front of Him. And for the received the rewards that you have done in this body, just remember that you're working for a prize, a possession to give God, Almighty. That's what you're working for. It's not, you already have it, inheritance in Him. But as you work with this message and you stand firm and you share the gospel of grace, God, and you be faithful, whether anybody comes to understanding that, that's really not your responsibility. It's God's. And you be faithful with the words on the page, it gives Him eternal weight and glory. And it will shine. That's who He... I just can't say it enough. I really can't. And it sinks down in my soul thinking, there's a lot of things I do sometimes don't bring pleasure to God. You know? And all. I think about my rewards. I really do. I think about where I'm going, what I'm going to be doing in heaven sometimes. You know? But it's what God gives us. And when He gives it to you, when in the rapture and He gives it to you, it's deserving. And what He feels, not what I feel. Because, you know, something I still think in a man's mindset sometimes. And when you think, when you put your mind on and you come to the carnal mind or in the Word of God, some of this don't make sense. But you think about God looking out and writing His Word and what He sees. It's totally different from what I'm looking up God thinking, what I think God is doing. That has helped me out in Psalms. There's some things in Psalms that God, put when David writes, it's not David looking up. He's writing what God is looking down at the world. Stuck His hand across the earth, universe, hung it on nothing. Okay? Coming from the north, looking down. There's a lot of things like the sun set on a circuit. You know, so there's a lot of things, but when you turn around and say, man, no. It's this way. Father, we do thank You for the day, and we thank You for so much in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.